Scooby-Doo has hands? I thought he had paws. Isn't he a dog?
He's not really a dog.
Good heavens, no.
Good heavens, yes.
I don't believe you.
Well, you should. Because that's ridiculous.
I submit.
This is just unbelievable.
No, oh, nothing like reminiscing on like a couple weeks ago. Hello, welcome to The Unbelievables. This is Mike Calhoun. I am your host today. Well, I've been your host almost for every episode. Actually, by almost, I mean every episode. Maybe you're listening to this for the first time. We had a guest, Mr. Nick Fleming. Maybe you're listening for the first time because you're just scrolling through Facebook and you see the link and you go, maybe I'll actually be Mike's friend and listen to his goddamn podcast one time. See, I will scroll through Facebook, and I am friends with a lot of comedians, but I'm also a member of a bunch of stupid buy-sell trade pages. So every once in a while, I'll come across something that's like, I've got 50 porcelain dolls, and I got a stack of them. They're all being sold for $30 a piece, and they're like the creepiest things on earth. And I'll be like, this is hilarious. This is a great like parody post that I think one of my friends is posting, and then I realize no, it's some moron actually trying to sell these disgusting things, and it's just absolutely awful. Speaking of disgusting looking things, my co-host is here, Johnny Trowbridge.
Oh man, that's rough.
He's wearing a shirt today again.
I'm always wearing a
another shirt.
What can I say? I'm predictable.
Similar to last week in that it is on your body.
Yeah, and has five holes. Oh no. Four.
Well, I mean, a fifth hole wouldn't be too bad.
I guess so.
You did something. Speaking of creepy dolls, you did something creepy over the weekend.
Yes, I did. I went to the Ohio Reformatory.
See, I still don't know what that is, even though you told me about it.
Yeah,
like so if you could tell me and the listener. I just refuse to listen once you open your mouth about anything that
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I figured.
I don't like learning new things.
Well, that seems healthy. the Ohio Reformatory is... If in case you were wondering, Calhoun.
I'm still wondering.
Okay.
Please tell me it.
It's
this thrilling tale.
It's over 100-year-old jail, or reformatory, if you will, penitentiary.
Is that kind of like a madhouse?
Yeah.
Not to be insensitive.
It was, I mean,
I couldn't think of... institution, that's what I was thinking of. But I came out with madhouse because I'm an insensitive ass.
It didn't... It wasn't exactly a madhouse. Now it might be. Just because... people who go there must be mad because
well, you went there, but you went there in the broad daylight.
I didn't know. I was unaware of what it was like, but there's lead paint all on the walls and it's coming down.
Oh, like, tasty.
Man, if I got near that too much, it'd be deadly.
Well, I think you have to consume the lead paint.
Yeah,
do you
I was
not?
Worried that I was going to eat
or
it.
Somehow get it in your bloodstream. Like if you had sex with the paint.
With all of the paint.
Put it into a pile, into a shape of someone that you love, and be like, I will make love to this paint.
You get lonely.
Especially in a scary penitentiary.
That's how they get you.
So you were telling me that it's like, that's where Shawshank was
that's where Shawshank
filmed?
Was filmed, yeah.
Do you think it had lead paint then?
So yes.
Andy Dufresne.
Andy
had to
Dufresne.
Crawl through a bunch of shit.
And now he has cancer.
And now he's got lead poisoning as well.
Yep, probably. Same with Morgan Freeman. They all have like.
But he didn't try to escape.
But they were in a place where lead paint was falling. Like it was. It's been like that forever. So.
Jesus.
It was shut down in the 90s.
You think the location scout would have been like, "Is this lead paint?
Is this what is? Why is it coming on the walls like that?"
Oh my God. Well, speaking of melting faces, actually we weren't talking about that at all. But you know, regardless, we have a guest today.
Melted
it's
face.
Pretty big. It's a pretty big time. Well, in my opinion, he's got the face and body of Jeremy Shear. It's Jeremy Shear.
I do have the face and body of Jeremy Shear, unfortunately.
What a glorious body is to behold, Jeremy.
I wish my face would melt off.
Ooh, Indiana Jones style?
Yes. Make it quick.
I like that in the Indiana Jones ending, they chose to make three people's faces explode in three very different ways.
Why isn't it even? Like, why is it...
Everybody perceives God in their own way.
Good point.
Everyone dies in their own way.
Everyone dies in their own unique... God smote them in their very unique way.
It's like folksy, but really depressingly so.
Brief segue. Last week, I told Nick that Jeremy was a good friend of the show, even though Jeremy didn't even know that this show existed, and now Jeremy is on the show. So I'd like to read off a list of more friends of the show.
All right.
For you guys. List friends of the show. Friends of the Unbelievables. Starting number one, Jerry Seinfeld. He's a big friend of the show.
Yeah, we'll go way back.
Number two, Patton Oswalt. He's also a friend of the show. Yeah. Further back. I think Patton's younger. But yeah, we've known each other longer. Jen Kirkman. She is a big friend of the show. Paul F. Tompkins, my hero and best friend.
Best friend.
So I'm sure we'll get him on here soon.
Rollerblading? Or
we did in L.A. together. Holding hands with high socks.
Oh.
Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
He's a big friend of the show.
Always.
Alexander the Great as well. You don't know that?
He's dead.
He's a big friend of the show. B.B. King.
Mm.
King Tutankhamen.
B.B. Guns.
The kid from A Kid in King Arthur's Court. The cast of Night Court.
That's good.
Our dearest lady, Princess Diana. God rest her soul.
Wait.
She's a big friend of the show.
Can you have me back when Richard Mall comes on?
Yes.
We can.
You can be on the same time.
Great.
We'll work you in.
We'll get out the good mics.
Yeah.
Like we'll get out a fourth one.
And diamond then we'll encrusted. Be able
to... I mean, I'd love to share a mic with him. I'd just like to see what that man's breath smells like.
So would I.
Do you like breathy men? Is that your thing?
I mean, it really tells me a lot about a person.
It can it?
Yeah.
If you're close enough to a person.
What if you have like a collection of breaths? Just like in jars, so you can like collectively know what someone someone's like.
I'd be more interested in like how they collected the breath.
That's not the interesting part. you're focusing on the details, big ideas.
Would it be like baby food jars or full?
No,
jars?
Yeah, you're right. Baby food jars would probably be the most efficient way. I don't know.
You definitely have room for more with baby food jars.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you could keep a whole closet full, and you'd be like, I have 1,000. Yeah. Otherwise, you'd get way too much space. It wouldn't be as dense either.
Exactly. Yeah. You could go to like a mummy site when they're just uncovering one and then just like, hold on 1 second. And then like capture that breath. And then you get like 1,000-year-old breath.
Library of breath. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. All right, Jeremy, you are, I don't know if self-proclaimed, but you are proclaimed as the dirtiest comic in Northeast Ohio. Excuse me.
I mean, it's self-proclaimed, but it's also true.
It is indeed true, but I didn't want to insult you by saying it was self-proclaimed and it happened to not be or anything like that, or not give credit where credit is due. It is indeed true. No one is saying otherwise.
Nope.
Where did the moniker come from?
I've just always been a filthy comedian, always. Like, from day one, I was saying bad words and saying awful things. So.
Were you saying bad words before you were a comedian, or were you like, well, now that someone's going to listen to me, I'm just going to...
He was an altar boy before.
Paint their ears with terrible words.
Yeah,
you're an altar boy?
I was a good boy, and then I started comedy. That's how it worked. No, I mean, you know, I just... I've always had a mouth on me, and it just serves me better in comedy than it has just being a cunt in the service industry. So
it doesn't. Yeah, I think it like fits. Like sometimes some people will like shoehorn in some like bad word or bad phrases, bad story or quote unquote bad, and it just doesn't fit. And it's just like it's just funny whenever I see you perform. I actually just find it very hilarious, no matter what thank you. What I wanted to say is, I've hung out with you only a couple times, and I kind of have a similar thing where do you think you have a tendency to just feel talked out sometimes?
No. Not really, only because, you know, I also did like a 4-hour college radio show for a while.
I was going to ask about that. I've heard you have a history in radio, which is very interesting to me.
Yeah, I did college radio for a while, and that was like Mia's first mic, going for hours and hours and hours talking to weirdos on the phone.
That's awesome.
It was basically WCSB radio is a lot like it's a like you're listening into a chat line from the late 90s, and. Because that's what it is. Like, it's completely caller driven. Like, generally, like you guys have a format,
right?
But you try to go into WCSB with a format, and the callers don't want to do it. Like, you're screwed.
Well, let's get some calls right now. Listeners, call in. Call right in and tell us your opinion of Jeremy Shear's call-in show.
I don't even know what
maybe
we
get some Jeremy Shear's callers calling in.
Oh, man, you don't want my callers.
Let's get the
number. You don't want your callers.
You'll have one guy that calls in and just goes, double jerky sharks. That's it.
We've
how do you respond to that?
Yeah, how do you respond?
He just hangs up, so it's just like, yep, he's listening.
That's happened.
All right.
He's listening. So.
It's difficult to get a hold of the sub. We do record from a nuclear sub. We are out in the Pacific Ocean. It's very difficult to actually get a hold of us.
I'm a fan of the climate control. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's the best part, really. We have this replica of my apartment built inside of the sub.
Very
that's
strange.
The newest edition.
That was the one thing you wanted to replicate.
Yeah, it was really hard to find identical furniture that's existed for, you know, up to 20 years.
That's true.
Find the exact type. Yeah, so it's cozy, though. I like
to
think that
you
could have
done anything, though.
Did the same person knit those blankets?
Yeah, I have an old woman that stays on here.
Babushka?
My babushka stays on the sub, along with Cookie, the navigator slash captain slash cook slash pastry chef.
Two waiters.
Criminally underpaid.
Criminally.
And by which we pay them nothing.
Yeah, so I guess that is criminal. Mm.
I don't know if it's criminal. I don't even know if they know they're employed.
What laws do we abide by?
None. We're in the open sea.
International waters.
That's exactly. Right. International pirates.
We have discussed previously on the podcast that international waters, if you're on a cruise line owned by a certain company, though, the countries from which that company is from, their drinking laws apply. I was on a cruise ship at 20 years of age thinking I could get alcohol, and I was wrong.
That's a shame.
It is a damn shame.
I don't know why else you'd be on a cruise.
What if it's in port, though?
Actually, looking back on it, why on earth was I on that cruise?
But what if it like goes into port at a
different
place?
I said on the previous show. Oh, don't listeners love listening to stuff over and over again? But no, I'll reiterate.
Let's go back to the beginning, one.
We would go to like Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico is still part of the U.S., but we would go to like St. Thomas Island, which is a separate entity. And they'd be like, yeah, the drinking age is 18. So I could have bought liquor there and then brought it back on the ship. And then the ship would have made me check it.
Isn't
this a hilarious story?
Oh, what a hassle.
Where did you get started with the radio show you had?
I just got a message one day from my buddy John Wellington. And he was like, hey, you want to go on the radio? And we just showed up at WCSB. I met the producer of the show. And it just went from there. Originally, I was second mic for a few months, and then I kind of took over hosting duties because I was, John had his own idea of what he wanted to do with the show, and the producer had his idea, and I was more in line with what he wanted to do because I was starting to get like, oh, we can't do whatever we want. We have to do what the callers want. So.
Oh, really? So yeah. That was like, because that's certainly something I noticed about like modern, quote unquote, entertainers that want to get big. That, like YouTubers is what I would say. They really just go, well, tell us what you want us to do next to the commenters and stuff. I would never want to do that. Like, when I was younger, I thought maybe it'd be fun. But people on the internet hate everything.
They do.
So if
that's
like
true.
If you're dictated, if your content is dictated, that's how you get Bodie McBoatface and stuff. Like,
yeah,
okay, but to be fair, Bodie McBoatface,
Bodie McBoatface, certainly at the height of comedy. Yeah, that is certainly a little funny at least. But the callers, they were like dictating the content. You're saying,
yeah, pretty much. It's there are regular callers that have been calling in that station for years.
Okay.
And they want to talk about their life a little bit, and then they will give like some of the smarter guys prompts and go from there.
Oh, okay, right on.
But then the producer of the show wrote jokes for me to do, which some of them were great, some of them were not.
Well, consider, did you guys have a good relationship, you and the producer? So did you do them regardless?
I did them regardless because, you know, I wanted to stay on the air.
Oh, but okay.
As you do.
I mean, after a while, it just got some of the jokes got problematic. Like, he had this this worldview of, like, black people are racist, too, and everybody needs to know about it. No.
So he just, like, turned it into a just, like,
that's not
well,
a
this
joke.
Is something I want to mention. This dude, I don't like talking about current events very much because this is going in the archive because we've got like, what, three listeners? They're all from like Chicago, apparently.
That's right.
But no, I saw this thing where a guy was in an Illinois or an Indiana parade for the 4th, and it was just a golf cart that had a bunch of Trump posters, and then it had this terrible statue bust of Obama coming out of a toilet, and it said, like, lying African or some nonsense. And I'm like, how did that get through anyone in charge of that parade?
I don't think it was run by anyone.
And it just makes me just furious, that sort of thing. Also on a hilarious topic, racism.
Yeah.
Yay!
Oh, God.
Good for him for getting that by everybody and letting everybody know he's racist.
Right.
I bet you he snuck it. There's
some
no
old man
way.
From some suburb in Indiana. Can we really expect anything less?
Akron's no better, man. I don't know if you remember where that guy had the Obama Halloween display.
Oh, God. I do remember this.
You remember that? What was it?
It was, he just had, like, Obama dressed up as in, I don't remember exactly what it was. Like, my producer tried to get me to get him on the show because I lived in Akron.
Oh, really?
Why?
Yeah, because he wanted to talk to him. Like, this guy is doing comedy right. I was like, no, he's pissing
this
off all his neighbors.
This guy's doing comedy right.
He's pissing off all his neighbors and getting bad press.
That's your producer now, like, the Trump campaign manager?
I mean...
Oh no, we don't need to name names or anything like that. We don't need to badmouth anyone.
Yeah,
either.
Don't stop saying Trump.
Yeah, nah, man, it was less immigrant stuff and more, you know, people in the neighborhood that he didn't like.
Oh, I understand. I mean, I don't understand. But, well, maybe I didn't. No, I do not understand.
You don't. You don't know.
Please tell me. Johnny.
I just was asking. Was there, like, regular callers you get, like, every time?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, we had regular callers that would call in every week, and then we had people that would call in twice a month, and then people that would get really confused and go, what the hell is actually going on here? And then comedians that would be like, no, really, what's going on here? I have no idea. And then I'd have to explain it to them.
So you said it was, like, imagine, like, people from the 90s calling. So yeah. Did it take... When was this? What year... Your span was this?
I think 2000. Oh man, 2010 to 2014, 15, something like that.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
So it just happened to be that demographic, that age group that people stuck in the 90s mentality were calling in.
Well, I mean, like the pinnacle of WCSB talk was 669. Back in the 90s is when that started with Sweet Ass Sassafras, and it was like week after week of running like inside jokes that that people went with.
Oh.
And that was like the height of culture.
So
there.
It certainly had its own bubble of people.
Yeah, it had a bubble, but it was a bunch of people.
Right, I mean, right. Like, enough to have a
they were huge. And you know, like if you were underground at all, you knew about 669 because it was everybody was listening to it.
Gotcha.
It was great. And people really wanted to carry that spirit on into every talk show on the station, regardless of who was running it. So,
huh. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I have a brief history in radio in that I was a radio DJ for my high school radio station, 88.9 WSTB.
Oh my goodness, alternation.
Yeah, the alternation. Yeah, well, I started off as the network technologist, where I was taught by two gay men how to build a computer and how to manage a network. And then...
It was the start of a movie.
Ben and Dan and Mike. How can they... They can turn him into a computer geek, and then they're going to rock his asshole. No,
whoa, what? No. I was like...
Everyone at the station did go, so Dan's gay, Ben's gay. Do you have anything to tell us, Mike? And at first, it was funny, and then it just became this thing. I was, like, insulted by it. I was like, obviously not, guys. Thank you, though. I mean, these two guys are my friends. I feel like that's more insulting to them. But I did eventually go, man, all these radio DJs are having all the fun. I want to get on. And I wanted to do like a talk sort of thing.
Right.
But that's not what we did. It was just get on, do either the station tag or do the station ID or introduce the next couple bands and then get off.
Yep.
And if you were... like insufferably monotone, you were bad. And if you were slightly had a little bit of up and down in your voice, you were good. You didn't have any extra content. You didn't provide any opinions.
You couldn't slip in a sentence.
You kind of could.
No.
There was a guy that had a show I mean, like, we switched it up every year because people are graduating from high school. And it would be the Friday night request show, I think they called it. And he would have a little bit more of a personality.
Right.
But I did not get to do that, and I was so disappointed.
There's one question I need to ask you.
Please.
What is Bob Long really like?
I went on a cruise with Bob Long.
What?
You don't you oh well now we're just gonna talk about Bob Long this entire time. He has met Bob Long when he didn't believe me. Okay,
I was like,
first of all, for the listener, Bob Long, local celebrity in the Northeast Ohio area, where he ends his Weather Center updates with I'm Bob Long.
After a long pause.
Yes. From the 88.9 WSTB Weather Center. I'm Bob.
It gets longer as the older he gets.
Sometimes, as the older he gets, he's getting up there too. But to answer your question, I'm pretty sure we're just going to talk about Bob the rest of this time, and he would be thrilled. He didn't believe that I knew him, and I was like, I just got back from a cruise with Bob Long. He's like, No, you haven't. And I called up Bob, and I said, Bob, can you tell me the weather? He gave us the weather forecast. Oh, no problem, Mike. It's going to be 73, a little sunny. When I have a little light showers tomorrow. And I was like, give us the closer. And he did it, and he's like, I instantly believe you.
Yeah, I just started running around.
Oh, that man.
We were at that.
But Bob is probably one of the greatest human beings I've ever met. I learned most of my life lessons from him. Sorry, Mom and Dad. I learned a lot from Bob. Just being around him, being an adult, really.
Yeah.
Being responsible, taking responsibility for yourself, and knowing what you want to do and doing it really came from Bob. This is hilarious, but this is a little sentimental because Bob is great. I love Bob.
Yeah. I used to live in the area, so I listened to 88.9 all the time.
Right,
and
right.
Always.
I still do. I mean, I still like the music, some of it. But I still like the music, and I keep in contact with Bob a little bit. I was supposed to have lunch with him a couple weeks ago, and that fell through. But Bob is great.
Bob is great.
That's good to hear. I'm glad that sometimes you meet your heroes, and it's all bad.
Right, right. Sometimes, yeah. No, he's probably the most genuine, perfect person I've ever met. He's still doing well, real healthy.
Good.
He was in New York for a bit, just because he wanted to. It's his favorite city. I've been to New York with them.
Oh, wow.
I've been all over the place. The reason I've been all over the country, I don't know if I've mentioned this. I have a joke that I set up and I talk about being around the country. But the reason I've been around the country is because of Bob.
Oh, wow.
We would go to radio conventions, and because I was in the executive group of people, I was the network technologist, I would get to go.
Nice.
So we've been to Kansas City. We've been to New York City several times. Austin, Texas. I didn't go to L.A. with him, but I went to L.A. eventually. Chicago. Mm. And it's just the reason I got to do all those things is because of Bob. So Bob really has affected my life. But he's awesome. He's great.
Good.
I want to know
if you ever meet him. They're doing a blood drive at Streetsboro High School on Friday. If anyone wants to meet him. If anyone wants to meet Bob Long.
Sign up, give your blood.
Local celebrity, Bob Long.
What better reason to give your blood?
That's a good point. I would bleed out an entire pint to meet Bob.
All proceeds.
And I already know him.
Go to Bob Long.
All proceeds go to Bob Long.
And by that I mean all the blood goes to Bob Long.
Oh yeah, Bob is a vampire, by the way, everyone. Like, he's a great guy, but he's also a vampire, and he will
just one of those things. You have to juggle.
He needs to suck your blood for sustenance, and he will. Yeah. He doesn't kill anyone.
No, he's not that rude.
Yeah, he's an old vampire. He can take care of himself. He knows how to.
He invented radio.
He invented radio. You know what? If Bob turned out to be an immortal that invented radio, I would not be surprised in the least. And I'd be like, well, at least I'm on good terms with him.
Yeah.
I think it was an Italian guy. So
that
Bob
invented
Italian?
Radio?
Yeah. I think it was.
I don't believe so.
I'm pretty sure.
I do believe that AM radio was invented by an American, which was promptly stolen by another American, which is really the American way.
There you go. Yeah. No, but I think that he had an Italian descent. I don't know.
I have a Scottish descent, but that doesn't
matter.
That's
why I say whenever you do something,
Scottish
people have spoken. That's why I say that.
Sheer, what is your family ties? What are your history? Tell me all about them.
I'm half Jew, like Florida Jew.
Florida Jew.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I know all about
Miami
Florida.
Miami Jew. You mean, you know, my
Warm Jew.
Side of the family comes from Miami. So it's,
oh, gotcha.
It's a little bit different culture down there. A lot of old people.
I think if we have more interbreeding down there, we'd have a lot of Cuban Jews. That would be cool. I have this weird thing that I'm really into Jewish women.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just always have been.
Okay.
What?
I don't know.
Like, is it just because of Natalie Portman, or is it?
No.
Yes.
No. I have slept with a Jewish girl. I've slept with multiple Jewish girls.
Mm.
But what? I just find Jewish women very attractive. Like, Lady Gaga is super attractive to me.
Okay.
Barbara Streisand, super attractive to me for some reason. Like, in her prime, well, she's still hot. I would love to be adopted by Barbara Streisand. But then again, I'd be related to her, and I wouldn't be able to hit on her.
So is it difficult for you to look at World War II?
Anything?
I just screwed it up.
let's reset. Yeah, all right, everyone, rewind. So what were you going to say?
Barbara Streisand.
So, yeah, Barbara Streisand, and then I'd be related to her, and I wouldn't be able to hit on her.
Yeah, so is it difficult for you to look at World War II propaganda pictures without getting an erection?
Oh, this yes. Nose. Well, actually, I don't have a problem because most of them were men.
Yeah.
Well, actually, there might have been some, like, nasty propaganda signs that were women, but those are hot. Yeah, that's my porn. I've got a book of it. I'll get it out later.
Might look bad.
Yeah, I'll show the listener.
That might look bad. Oh, yeah, I just carry around Nazi propaganda.
I'll just describe. Now,
surprisingly enough, only been with one Jewish woman. That was the girl who took my virginity. So
really?
Wow. Yeah, she came from the Orthodox.
Was it at your bat mitzvah?
It was not my bat mitzvah. you know, I don't think I really became a man because I still didn't know what
That's
I was
doing.
That's
a damn doing. Shame. We're gonna throw you on, Jeremy. We're going to throw you a late bar mitzvah. You'll be 13 again. We'll let
nobody's
you masturbate
gonna be
all day.
Nobody's going to be able to carry me on a chair.
We'll get a couple.
We'll get
a couple chairs.
We'll get one cool chairs that is like, it's basically a throne. We're going to get you throne is
all
what
right.
We're going to get you.
I'll tell you what. We got in Cleveland, we got a guy in a wheelchair, and we made him surf around on the crowd. So we'll fucking get
That's
you in a
awesome.
Chair.
Right. When did that happen?
You didn't see that picture? It's a very famous picture.
I didn't see that one.
It's a guy that couldn't see as the players were going by in the parade. So they lifted him up.
Wow.
I have not seen that.
You haven't seen that?
No.
It's great.
Some select people.
And then
I
saw some other large man try to fight a bunch of people and get his ass knocked out.
Why would you bookend your great story?
I know. And then with such a downer. It's like, wow, Cleveland.
Yeah, we're so
rise.
Great. We're so good. Also, but
fat, awful people.
Yeah.
It really does.
Dang it, Calhoun.
No, I work in Cleveland, so I enjoy. I have to. We have to take the sub all the way back to Lake Erie, drop me off each morning, and then we take the sub back. But
that's how you
do. I do have to. I work in Cleveland, and I did attend the parade for the Cavaliers.
You were there.
I was. It was pretty awesome.
That was
insane. Extremely dense. Everyone was sitting on the porta potties, so no one could use them.
Yeah.
Really?
They were all crushed. Oh, yeah. That was an interesting sight.
Gross.
Oh, boy. What I wanted to say. Oh. Considering you've done radio, and I'm assuming you've done multiple podcasts, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. I've done a lot.
What question do you hate to be asked the most? Or not even hate to be asked, because I'm not going to ask it. I'm always curious, like, if I want to interview someone, I don't want to ask them a bunch of questions that they've already answered, they feel exhausted by. What question haven't you been asked? That's a good question.
What question haven't I been asked?
Yeah, give me one, I'll ask it to you, and then if it sucks, we'll cut it out.
There's no cutting.
I know, there is no cutting. Not in the Unbelievables.
Oh, there's no editing?
No, we don't. We don't edit at all. So if we have any lulls and people turn it off, oh, well, the rest of the show, if it sucks, it sucks. If it's great, they missed it.
I've got a great question you asked me. How do you feel about dead air?
Oh,
wait. So, Jeremy, how do you feel about dead air?
Love it.
It's pretty good.
Dead air is a terrifying thing in radio. Absolutely terrifying. I know some Clear Channel. Clear Channel is for the listener. If you don't know Clear Channel, you listen to it at least once in your life, or actually,
I think it's iHeart Radio now.
Oh, well, I think they're still owned by the parent company called Clear Channel.
Okay,
because Clear Channel owns billboards. They own a bunch of shit.
Okay,
But Clear Channel has this rule where if there's like more than 5 seconds of dead air, they have a track automatically play. Mm-hmm. And that's just crazy. I mean, they know how serious it is.
Yeah. Well, there, you know, there was a talk afternoon talk show a few years ago that the host used dead air a lot. And I'm sure it drove everybody nuts that was like an executive, but he somehow managed to make it work. But, you know, it's there's it?
How did he utilize it? I'm curious.
It's just pausing for effect.
So it's like, hi, I'm Ira Glass. Where he pauses in between half of a sentence.
I'm Bob Law.
Well, yeah, Bob does. Yeah, Bob does use it for effect, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point,
Bob. You dog,
right under my nose.
Yeah, but it's you know, when you're doing talk, it's real difficult to like all of a sudden you realize I haven't said anything in a second. Shit, and
that's something that I've noticed about myself. I talk a fuck ton here because I'm terrified of just someone going, "Oh, there's a lull. I'm turning it off," and then I just turn out to I talk over my guests and I don't mean to, or we could be going somewhere very interesting, and then I'll just derail it with an odd thought or a segue, and we won't come back to it. And we had one of my good friends, Charles. He's like, "It was going to this, it was awesome story. I wanted to hear the end of the story, and then you guys went off of it, talking about I don't even fucking know dinosaurs or something." Mm-hmm. I was like, "Yeah, it sounds about right."
To be fair, we consist of segues.
Yeah, you and I. That's kind of how we work in general. Today's been very much more, much more level headed.
Yeah, this is the level headed.
I think we're just intimidated by Jeremy Shearer.
I know.
It could be.
We should just cancel the show after this because this is as big as we're going to get.
I hope not.
Oh, thank you. What a gracious thing to say. And with that note, we're actually going to take a break. And we'll be right back with more Jeremy Shearer. And we'll play a game a little later. And then, more Unbelievables after this. Hi there, this is Jimmy Hands of Jimmy Hands Hand Delivered Goods. Are you tired of your packages being delivered and just left at your door? Some neighbor hoodlums may take it, mistaking you for a giving person. Well, you're not. When you choose delivered by Jimmy Hands Hand Delivery, we will arrive at your location and personally hand you your package. No matter what it contains, we deliver it. Ranging from jewelry, baby clothes, livestock, pianos, artificial limbs, estranged relatives, and more. Our employees are dedicated to tracking you down, and we won't stop until the delivery is made. Recently, one of our employees was delivering a ticking briefcase, and we haven't heard from him in weeks. Apparently, tracking down fans of briefcase alarm clocks is one of the more difficult deliveries. Was visit our website at jimmyhandjob.com. That's jimmyhandjob.com. And let us give you a hand. It's like the most distorted, weird recording of that song. That's just awful.
Welcome to the place where all the regular music gets distorted.
Welcome back to The Unbelievables. This is Mike Calhoun. I'm joined by my gracious co-host.
Ooh, I like that. Gracious.
Johnny Trowbridge. And our guest today, Jeremy Shearer.
Not as gracious.
Not nearly. See, I just do, I do that reset thing like you would do on a radio show for like new listeners, but who's tuning in at, I say this every show, but who's at a half hour in and goes, this is a good starting point.
This is, this there's is, some guy who does it every time.
I admire... Oh, Jeremy's about to say something.
This is when they get their rhythm, so I'm going to tune in at half hour.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, like, it's fucking morons don't know what they want to say. They don't know what they want to talk about. By the first break, then they get the reins in, and then it makes sense. Maybe. I admire people that have actual radio shows that do like a four-hour show or something like that, and they just... Well, sometimes a lot of that is just filling time. I've noticed. I have a difficult time listening to commercial radio sometimes.
It is. It's very hard to listen to.
Sometimes I was gonna write a joke about it where you'll be. It's just something I a personal experience where I'll be driving, either listening to some talk show host or maybe a song, and everything will be going fine. You just end up tuning it out, and it's just nice, pleasant noise in the background, and then suddenly you're just angry. And you're just mad. And you're like, why the hell am I mad? it's because a fucking commercial's been playing for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because at the bottom of each hour, what they'll do is they'll fill 10, 15, or not 15, that's outrageous. Like 10 minutes of commercials because they'll forget to take breaks during the hour.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've experienced that. Was the it's show terrible. You were on strictly internet?
No, it was it was actually college broadcast? It was college radio. It was commercial free.
Which,
I had a whole nother different set of rules to play by with college radio. Like, we're not allowed to say prices.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No calls to action. So you can't, you know, tell somebody to go fuck themselves. You can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. That's all sponsors for like public things like that. You can't say it'll be this much or you can get it here. Or no, you can say you can contact them with this, but you can't say, contact them now. It's very interesting. The FCC rules are very interesting. I had to actually, and you must have too, must have passed. What is that?
Actually, I didn't have to do shit. I just showed up to the station one day, and all of a sudden, I basically have carte blanche to go on.
So the producers must have passed all those, because there was a test I had to take to be
test?
Yeah, to be a broadcaster.
Wow.
And you get like a 5-year membership. Mine has very since expired.
Yeah, you don't have that.
I still got my boarding license, though. That's what's important.
That is important.
When have you ever used that?
Right now.
Besides that sub.
Right now on the sub.
You don't pilot it, so.
I also had to use it at the bar one time. It was a glorious moment that Tyler shared with me.
I remember this.
In which a man said, "Do you have a second form of ID?" And I had been telling Tyler that I'd show people my boating license just because. Like, I thought it was this stupid gag that I was only in on. And I make eye contact with Tyler, and I go, "This is the moment." And I was like, "I have a boating license." He's like, "Yeah, that'll do." Like, he didn't give a shit, but I was like, so happy to be able. He's like, "Don't you just have a credit card or something?" He's like, "No, I have a boating license, and you're going to look at it." And he's like,
"Does it have your picture? You can get in."
No, it just has my name. I'll show you right now. Oh, no, my wallet is not with me. Oh, but I'll show you later.
For the listener, he doesn't have it.
Oh, man. You know what we didn't do? We didn't explain the game to our guest over the break, so this is going to be extra fun.
Uh-oh.
The game we have today is an invention, well, somewhat of an invention, by Johnny here.
Yeah.
The genius behind it.
I stole it a little bit.
Yeah, we stole it a little bit. But we made it our own, in which we call it, Can You Sell It? That's not as cool. Yeah. But anyway, essentially, what we're going to do is we're going to have one of us that I have deemed Jeremy Shear. He will take on a persona, which is a famous person. He'll draw it from one of our magical cups. And then Johnny and I will attempt to sell him a product based on that person's interest. So you don't have to do a voice or anything.
Okay. You can, though.
You that can. Is, feel
I'm
free.
Completely on the table.
Fun little improv game. I've got a little actual music for it. Hello there. We're going to have Jeremy.
All right.
Reach in and pick his own. Who are you, sir?
This music.
Queen Elizabeth I. Queen Elizabeth I.
Perfect.
Excellent. All right, here we go. We're going to draw hands full.
I get two. All right.
Oh, I drew a whole bunch, but I'll make something out of it.
All right. I drew, okay.
Come one, come all. Oh, hello there, good lady.
Hello.
Oh, God.
See, in all your years of ruling England and wanting to extinguish the Spanish and their horrible armada, I imagine you would need something such as... Here, I've definitely got something for you. And I'm going to tell you now.
Okay.
It is chowder gravel. Chowder gravel.
Oh,
now,
God.
Let me tell you, you might not understand what chowder gravel is. I will explain it to you. Chowder gravel, it's an extremely dense food. That's from my native land.
Gross.
I'm
doing
so.
Sounds like something from the colonies.
Yes.
Indeed. Indeed it is, ma'am. I apologize for my stumbling. But the chowder gravel, what you do is you convince your enemies that you...
Nope. Nope. All right. Let's listen to...
My apologies for...
A better salesman. Okay, have you ever been trying to fly around... Wait, is Elizabeth the one that's now?
No, Queen Elizabeth.
Dang it,
okay.
First.
Okay. All right, that changes
from the golden age.
That changes the pitch a little bit. All right.
Have you ever wanted to fly?
Yes.
Like the birds?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Well, you remember that Leonardo da Vinci guy?
Oh, he was so handsome.
Yes, he is.
Well, remember that helicopter he was thinking about? Well, it's this one's made out of drums.
Drums?
A drum helicopter, you're right. The way you pilot it and steer and power it is by hitting softly on it with large mallets.
Ooh, I would have Indians do that for me.
Yes, you can have anyone you want to do it, but that's the way it works. And it pilots for 3 days.
Asians are very good at drums.
Yes, they are. That's why you get them to do it for you, which is better than whatever gravel he was selling.
I can look down on the pores.
Yes.
You don't even have to look at them.
Now, ma'am, I realize my first product was certainly less than interesting for you to actually invest in.
If it's cheap, I'll feed it to people.
Oh, indeed. Perhaps you can indeed feed the child of gravel to them, but I have a much better product. He believes that he can sell you something that has to do with helicopter. Now, I think you would not need any sort of thing like that. It would consume far too much fuel. What you need for yourself is a pigeon net.
A pigeon net.
I'm doing Queen Elizabeth's voice. A pigeon net, yes. You trap as many pigeons as possible, make them fly, and there it carries you up into the sky.
What?
Like the royal queen you are.
Why do that when you have a helicopter?
All over the dreadful peasants that you see.
Well, I do have more pigeons than Indians.
Well, but you...
Trafalgar Square is crawling with them.
Light them ablaze is what I say. Light them ablaze.
Light them ablaze.
Why have I changed persona?
I don't know. Several times. I'm confused.
All right, I feel like that's enough of a failure on my part that we can end that one.
Well,
that's how you play.
Who won? I don't know.
That's how you play. Can you sell it? Now we have to have Jeremy determine who sold the best. Oh, Christ. Man, that was rough.
I like the drum helicopter.
Yes.
Johnny.
More practical.
Steals the glory away from me. Thank you for participating, Jeremy.
I didn't really
You're welcome. I'm sorry that was more Mrs. Doubtfire than Queen Elizabeth I.
They're the same thing.
Yeah, pretty
much.
Mrs.
Doubtfire is one of my favorite things. Listeners of the show, longtime listeners, all three episodes would know that I like to quote, "Hey, it's the 90s. Very frequently, just, you know, whenever anything controversial comes up. Like,
Mrs. Doubtfire has ruined things for transgender people because everybody assumes that that's how all ladyboys pee.
Right.
And that's not what happens. Chill the fuck out.
It's a little upsetting what's going on, considering how many years we've had transgender people since, you know, the beginning of time.
Yeah, pretty much.
And how they've always used bathrooms, and now it's suddenly, it's just dreadful, absolutely dreadful. But yeah, I think Mrs. Doubtfire had a pretty progressive stance on things, though. He had his gay brother. Yeah, the English people. They actually openly mentioned English people in it. They weren't afraid. They weren't afraid to do that. They had Pierce Brosnan on there. That was a...
Pierce Brosnan?
Oh, Pierce Brosnan was in it. That was certainly
a
gamble.
It was a step for him. Like, normally he's the hero. He played a little bit of a douchebag in that. And then he was a complete douchebag in Taylor of Panama.
I have not seen Taylor. I have seen him in Mamma Mia, though. That was what I was going to mention. That reveals a little bit about me.
All right. Yeah, Taylor of Panama is great. Jeffrey Rush and...
I love Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah, Jeffrey Rush is great in it. He's like a weird scheming tailor. And then Pierce Brosnan is a dirtbag spy. So,
all right,
wow,
cool.
That's fitting.
Worth taking a look at.
I wish I should. What I was going to say about Mamma Mia is that he attempts to sing in that movie.
Oh, God.
He shan't. He should not do that.
Oh,
he should
God.
Not.
Is it worse than Clint Eastwood?
Has he sung?
Yeah.
What?
Paint your wagons, buddy.
Oh, God.
Wait, what is this, bro?
Paint your wagons. Lee Marvin and Clint Eastwood sing.
Is it slow?
Wagons. First of all, that sounds like something that Mel Brooks would put in a movie. Like, a song called Paint Your Wagon. Like, that sounds like something out of Blazing Saddles.
It sounds like it, but it's a musical western with Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin.
Does he sing, like, real low and, like, whoa?
It honestly sounds like he had to have at least 8 shots of whiskey to get in the mood to sing.
Oh, my God.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, it's it's like, worth one look.
That's worth one
exactly
look.
Exactly one.
Welcome to Worth One Look with Jeremy Shearer.
There we go.
We've got, what was the first movie? let's get some rube, let's get some crunchy
Douche
guitar.
Douchebag.
Yeah. No, that's not what I want. We want Beach Party. That's welcome to One Good Look with Jeremy Shearer. We're here. We're going to talk to him about the one good movie he's seen with the Pierce Brosnan.
Douchebag.
Douchebag Pierce Brosnan. Taylor of Panama, man.
Taylor of Panama, man.
Taylor of
hey,
Panama.
Hey, we know all about Panama. It's right.
A pretty good place. I don't know what accent.
If I had to describe that accent, it would be hard to place on a map.
Help me. I don't know where I am.
Jamaican vampire. Yeah,
that's right. Sounds like a voice you would use to get a discount at a hostel.
That's right.
Hello, I want a very cheap.
If there's nothing else I take from this episode, it's that Jeremy Shearer laughed. I did. I heard you laugh out loud for the first time. Granted, it was at your own joke and not one of mine. Last night, when you came up with the Stone Tavern, which has been mentioned, so we can mention it again.
Okay.
Stone, no covers.
Yeah.
Your dick is like the Stone Tavern.
No covers.
No covers. I found that one particularly enjoyable.
Yeah. I just like the fact that I can make a no condoms joke.
Yeah, anytime we can make a new condoms joke, no condiments joke as well.
No comments on a
no comments. Comment yeah, no joke. Comments jokes. Those are all great.
Yeah.
Those are all solid. Oh, man, this has gotten away from me. I'm supposed to be the driver on this show, and I usually do such a good job. I had another question for you, Jeremy, and I guess I don't. Do you have any questions for me? What kind of show is this?
Come on, we're waiting.
I have a question. Are you going to keep wearing those silly little tuxedos on stage at open mics?
Oh. Absolutely. If there's one thing I can count Jeremy Shearer for, it's some pretty well-placed insults.
They're like H&M.
It's not much of an insult. It's more of a little bit of a roast. I am indeed. I don't know. I think it's fun to dress up. So I like to do it. I told my mom, I was like, if I ever get in a club show, that's when I'll really wear a suit. And then Jason Moliterno made a comment. And I was like, I'll show him. I'll go full suit. I'll go three-piece next time. And he wasn't there. But it was. I don't know. It's fun. It's a good time to me.
I want to up the ante.
I mean, at least you have a look, so it's a good thing.
I suppose. Yeah.
I want to up the ante. I want to make you look like you're out of the mask.
You're gonna give me a zoot suit?
I'm gonna get you a zoot suit.
Give me a hat and everything.
Yeah. It's like Carmen Sandiego.
I don't know about you, but white man in a zoot suit is a terrible thing. Well, seeing a white man in
you're
a zoot
you're the
suit.
One
you're supposed to be zany.
That's right.
I'm supposed to be zany. That's my thing.
That's got to be your thing if you're in a zoot suit.
That's
right. Yeah, you gotta be. Hey, you gotta be real, real in your face. I saw a picture of a white guy in a zoot suit, and it was just like he was. I think it was for a costume though, and it was just like.
Are you sure it wasn't during the swing revival of the mid '90s?
There was a swing revival.
There was a swing.
What,
was that
really?
A part of it?
Man, I feel really old right now. Yeah, that was a thing. like when the mask came out, that whole like that band, I forget what the hell they're called. I used to have it on tape because I was
the Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
It wasn't the Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
25 or 6 to 4.
I mean, they were a part of that whole thing too. But like all of a sudden, swing classes started popping up around town, and people were going to those. It was ridiculous.
From that one movie.
That was a topic of a Stephen King. Well, very brief topic of a Stephen King novel. What were you gonna say?
No, that one movie, like that band got big off that one movie and started putting out shit, and they were part of that whole swing revival.
Wasn't Sha-na-na like a late a cappella group that was like the 60s,
Royal
but they were
Crown
trying to
Review,
do...
that was it.
Royal Sorry. Crown Review?
Yeah.
That was the name of the band?
Yeah. Royal they did Crown Hey Pachuco, that dumb song that like he dances
Pachuco.
To in the movie. Yeah.
We'll have to look that up. Yeah. We'll have to look it up at the next commercial break.
I missed all the cool stuff that happened in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little toddler.
I was just observing the whole thing because I was just I was a fat teenager. I couldn't experience all of that. But
I liked dinosaurs during that time.
Like Dinosaurs the Show or Dinosaurs?
Actual
Holy
Dinosaurs.
Holy shit, Dinosaurs the Show. What an awesome show.
That was a good show, though. You're
Not
right.
to derail what you were about to say.
What about the movie? Did you ever see the movie Dinosaurs? With the
dinosaurs
lemur things?
Or dinosaur?
With the dinosaur, I think was
the animated.
Yeah.
I did see that show, and my dad did not want me to see it because it like helped. It was like he's a very strict believer in like young Earth creationism.
Yeah.
So he saw that there was like a meteor falling, which. It's not. It's kind of about, but it's more about talking dinosaurs.
Yeah, I was like,
young Earth creationism explains your haircut. So
thanks a lot. Oh. I had a comment about that. Ray Roberts, who another friend of the show, commented on.
I wouldn't
yesterday.
Brag about that.
He said, I remember when I was 8 years old and had the same haircut.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, when you were 8, could you afford a haircut? Because I can't. And that's why we have this result. But I. For the listener, just look at this haircut. It's terrible. Just look at it. It's awful.
It's
they understand.
Bad.
You know what, Jeremy? I'm gonna subject you to random acts of questioning. That's my next little
random acts of questioning.
Random acts of questioning. Here we go. This is a really full canister of questions that I don't know who wrote it.
Didn't you? Okay.
Here we go. How do you feel about conspiracy theories?
I'm not the target audience for conspiracy theories, so I have to stop getting pissed at them.
Now, forgive me if
answer.
I offend you, but if I saw you from afar,
mm-hmm.
I would say, oh, this guy's totally into conspiracy theories.
Yeah, because it's obvious that, you know, I don't give a shit about what the government thinks, but, you know, that doesn't mean I think there's some grand scheme afoot. Like, I just...
So you don't go for the big ones, but are there, like, smaller ones that you're like, maybe?
How about insignificant ones? Like, one I saw, it was a Time magazine cover, and it was just like, do we know who really killed Lincoln? And I was like, okay, as semi-interesting as that may be, at this point, would it matter? What if some other family was involved with the John Wilkes Booth planning? Who cares at this point?
No, it's too late.
Yeah.
That's a great conspiracy theory, though, because there's nothing on the line.
Because one is going to bother to investigate.
There's so many, like, different theories about history that, like, people think just because they read it somewhere, it's okay. Like, I keep getting the, you know, European Jews aren't the real Jews thing thrown at me all the time.
Something I've been hearing lately echoed. I used to be a libertarian when I was young and stupid.
Okay,
and
at least you've grown out of it.
Yeah. When I was first going to university, as the UK people would say, when I first started going to university, I was a libertarian. And I think it was, like, I was trying to do everything opposite. I was, like, because I became an atheist around when I was 18, and then I was just like, Republicans and Democrats, they both are, they're terrible, and the libertarians where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have a lot of libertarian friends, and something I've been encountering lately in the libertarian community is... wild conspiracy theories, one of which that bothers me very much so, and it's that the Holocaust didn't occur.
See that?
And that deeply...
How?
Like, we're getting a little serious again on this podcast, something that's not intentional. But that, I don't know why it personally offends me, but it's like when I see people insult people with tattoos. It's not the same, it's not equivocated, but... I don't have tattoos. That's what I'm saying. I'm also not Jewish, and I'm not from Europe.
Mm.
But that offends me deeply.
Yeah.
That I see people saying, oh.
I just don't know how people arrive at that.
I don't either. It blows my mind.
It's just in, like, when I see that, there's a motivation behind that. It's not, like, something you arrive at organically.
I agree. Yeah, it doesn't happen in a vacuum.
It's, I hate Jews. Now here's my proof that the Jews are behind all of this.
Right. It's like they have this predetermined stance that they gather information to solidify, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the wrong way to do things.
Like, yeah, like a lot of religious people. Yeah, like the wrong way to do things.
That's exactly it.
Cherry pick your evidence.
That was a big problem I had on college radio was I'd have Holocaust deniers call in all the
time. No way.
Just to fuck with me. There's, like, they're trolling, like, that's their thing, is, like, antagonizing Jews.
Okay, antagonizing anyone in general is just as dumb. Well, unless you're just roasting someone for good fun.
Right.
But antagonizing for the sake of it, sometimes I hope those people don't believe what they say.
They're just, like, being a troll?
Yeah,
yeah,
like, a lot of, like, I hope.
But that's almost scarier, because then they just don't care.
Oh, that they're just sociopaths?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a little scary, yeah. But I don't think
there's a lot of them.
So many people that don't execute what they believe in, though. Like a lot of Islamists, there's people that sympathize with what some terrorists execute, and they're like, oh, I would never do it myself, but I do think that the death penalty for gays is a right thing, and it's just like, that's a scary thing.
Yeah,
so many people scary. Sympathizing with that. We're getting political,
this is
guys.
So deep.
You better dive back into the question thing.
So, Flat Earth Theory, Wiz Khalifa.
Flat Earth B.O.B. You always get that wrong.
I always say it's Wiz Khalifa.
It's B.O.B. that has the Flat Earth Theory, and you always tell me it's some other rapper. I think you have...
No, I said I always say Wiz Khalifa, that, to be fair.
So you purposefully, accidentally misidentified B.O.B. as Wiz Khalifa.
I don't even know how you would go about...
Flat Earth. Oh, my God.
All pictures of the round Earth are just computer generated. Did you know that? They don't look the same if you look at each one separately.
Oh, my God.
That's what they say.
It's almost like the clouds move.
Remember the orange analogy?
It's almost as if, you know, the tides change and stuff. But that's nonsense.
You're looking into it too much.
I love Flat Earth theories. I used to be a young, like I was saying earlier, I used to be a very young, adamantly against religion thing. Now I'm a little bit more passive, and I just don't really care that much. I'm against terrorism and stuff, but I used to be much more outspoken. I remember hearing on the radio, someone used the term, there's no atheists in foxholes.
Right.
And I still find that a little offensive, because there's a lot of atheists that actually do serve in the military around the world, and... So I just wrote this angry young person email, I'm so offended. I can't believe you said such a thing. And the person responded with the most level-headed response. And it was just like, look, I didn't invent that phrase, nor was I using it in like an inflammatory sense. I was just saying it because we happen to have a priest on the show or a comedy show. And now looking back on that, that makes fucking perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I was just being a dumb kid.
He's just pandering to the priest. It's fine.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, it's kind of how I felt at first, but I was like, he doesn't believe it himself. He's also an atheist. Well, makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, Jeremy, I'm going to subject you. Actually, I'm going to Johnny subject you to another random maxim question.
Finally, I get to be.
The questions where we don't know where they come from.
My time has come. All right. If you were 11 feet tall and played in the NBA, what is the favorite program on the Food Network? What?
That's a good question. If you were 11 foot tall and played in the NBA, what's your favorite network or program on the Food Network? That's a valid question. Thank you, Johnny, for bringing us
that
question.
That's okay.
See, Jeremy's already 10 foot tall.
Yeah.
So he's nearly there. So he's probably got an interesting opinion.
I still sweat when I dunk. it sucks. Chopped.
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 So why would you be considering you're an 11 foot tall NBA star?
I mean, I competition is no longer a thing for me because I just dominate
That's
everything.
That's a good point. That's a very
so
good
I've
point.
I've got to watch it on my cooking
and
shows.
And Chopped is probably the most brutal of all competition shows.
Yeah, that one's pretty brutal. I liked what's that one where they have to like bet against
Cutthroat
each other?
Kitchen.
Cutthroat Kitchen. That one.
I went through a huge Cutthroat Kitchen phase. Welcome to the TV show podcast. We're just going to talk about TV shows and Pierce Brosnan roles. But did you ever... I don't have TV right now, so I don't watch any TV.
Me neither.
But did you ever actually specifically watch any Food Network stuff?
I mean, I watched a lot of Chopped when I was going through rehab. That was like, I just had the Food Network.
It just happened to be on?
Yeah, it was on, and like, I tried watching SportsCenter and nothing but SportsCenter for a while, but I was hallucinating. And Stephen A. Smith started yelling at me.
Stephen A. Smith always yells. I mean,
yeah, but
I
he was
yelling
at me.
Yeah. Oh,
while I was DTing, and I was like, no. So I just switched to Food Network
with his short, choppy sentences. Jeremy, here's what I think. You ought to be thinking right now. He's always yelling. I wonder if they put his mic in his pants, so he
That's
can pick up
only
his
way.
Voice. Yeah, the boom. The guy holding the boom mic is like really far away.
He's like, dumb.
All right, go ahead, Stephen. I like
they just have it flicked up a little bit on the dial there.
Just a wee bit for him.
Wait, is Chopped, what is the difference between that and like MasterChef?
Chopped is just three rounds, and it's like the competition's contained within the show, and MasterChef is like stretched out where they eliminate people over the course of a season.
And it's not like Iron Chef, because Iron Chef is like notable chefs. Chopped is a bunch of amateurs.
It's scrubs, and then they have like the celebrity Chopped, which is interesting.
That was fun. Yeah, it was a fun thing to watch. I also like to see the Cutthroat Kitchen Judges Edition thing because they actually.
So there's a Judges Edition.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I always watched MasterChef because I like rooting for the little guys.
And when I lived with Tim and Corey, Corey was big into MasterChef, so I watched that a bit. That and
is that still on?
That and what was the tattoo one with?
Inked.
Oh yeah, Inked. I knew some people that were really into Inked.
I liked that one. I saw it.
I watched a lot of Food Network back when I could afford food because it was fine because then I could stop and I could go eat something. And now it's a good thing I don't. I can watch. I know it's probably on Netflix. A lot of those shows I can't watch. Like Man vs. Food. I watched that a lot when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Watch this man destroy himself slowly.
Oh God.
It's kind of like porn for me, honestly, watching the Food Network. It's like, I'm never going to have any of this.
Right, a little bit, yeah, I totally agree. It's
you
just
can go
like,
buy it.
Look at these seared porn. Yeah, you could go buy something, maybe at a restaurant, maybe, but what do you
I'm not going to pay $30 a plate for just because I saw it on TV.
Yeah.
I will.
Then you'd really be living the American dream.
Yes, no, right.
Otherwise, I'd go make reservations at the Greenhouse Tavern now, because he was on Iron Chef.
Oh yeah. I was thinking of
Cleveland, right?
Yeah, and he lost to the old guy, which made me mad.
That's a shame.
He lost to a guy made a crudité as an appetizer. Fuck you.
Oh, that's some food anger.
It's not. Welcome to Food Anger with Jeremy Shear, Mike Calhoun, and
a souffle.
I almost forgot my co-host name. We're gonna talk some food anger. You know what kind of foods I hate?
Who?
Asian food. You know why?
Why?
Because I hate Asians.
Oh,
well, that was a food. No, what was that?
No. You would hate my neighborhood.
I actually don't hate Asians, and I don't hate Asian food. I love Asian food. I have to say, sushi's probably one of my new favorite things of all time.
I hate sauerkraut. I can't stand it.
You hate sauerkraut.
It's just, I don't know what it is. It's just sour. And kraut.
I hate Germans, too.
What?
I have my reasons for hating the Germans, but there's a nice German place like right by where I live. Unfortunately, they always give me gas.
Jesus. That was almost subtle. That was almost so almost. Subtle that,
was that
it was like really, really clever. And
that was me shoehorning my dumb husband's joke in.
The old dad joke.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, well... That's been it for the Unbelievables, guys. It's been actually a really fantastic show. I've laughed a lot.
Yes,
Jeremy Shear always makes me laugh. Hopefully, we've garnered a few of Shear's close followers.
Ooh,
yeah, might
we'll
get
see.
The Shear bump, and
we'll
then
see if the Shear bump happens and it's not involving cocaine this time.
I did like that reference last night. I was gonna say, I forget what I was gonna say now.
Plugs.
Sounds like every time I go up on stage. What's that?
Plugs.
Oh,
plugs,
we plugs. Gotta do some plugs. Thank you. See, this is why I have you.
Yeah, well.
We got a little plugs theme that each 2 weeks now I've said, oh, I won't play it again because we'll get the new plugs theme, but I love it so much, so we're gonna listen to it.
Again.
I love it.
Oh, this is good.
It's so smooth.
Oh my God.
I don't know, I just like talk box stuff.
I'm melting.
Can we plug the plugs theme?
Yeah.
Oh.
Bitch. Bitch. It's my new favorite part.
Yeah, wow.
That's Chris B. He's an artist from San Francisco. He does talk box stuff. I don't think he has an album, but I like to mention him because I heard that on a podcast ages ago. Loved it. They never used it again. I was like, I'm taking it.
Good for you.
Because yeah, I love it. And it gives him a little bit of a bump, I guess, from the three people that listen to us.
We're real famous. So
but my first, my co-host here, I would like to ask, what last week, we had you. What were you working on the sub?
Last week was lead paint.
Lead
which
paint.
Which is appropriate because I went to a
right,
place.
Right. Well, that's probably where you were inspired.
Yeah, man. That's probably
we painted
it.
The sub, a new coat of paint. It smells great. Tastes awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What's this week's project?
This week's is actually infrared, but it's blue.
Infrared everything.
No, it's infra-blue.
In Infra blue.
What it doesn't are you work. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's already. So yeah. We don't need an update next no, week on whether really. It's working yeah. or not. It's tried no. and failed.
Yes,
I
failed.
How much time did you spend on the infra blue?
The question's not time, but money.
Oh no.
Wait, hang on.
I thought it was a great idea, but apparently.
We were going to use that to buy a new bed because we're all sleeping in the same one right now.
You know, if I would have broke through.
Are you kidding me right now?
Well,
you spent yes, all of
but
our.
No.
So now what? We got to go rob another Swiss bank?
Yes. Unless you can sell this idea because it sold me.
Well, I've just exposed to the world that it failed.
Oh.
You son of a bitch. All right, Jeremy, do you have any plugs?
Sure.
Plugs, tell us.
Plugs. The first Saturday of every month at the Canopy Art Gallery is the Ad Hominem Attack Show. It is a roast battle show hosted by Chris Paw and Ryan DiPerna with theme music every month by Andy Barr, who is amazing.
Sounds like something that I would be easily picked on at. That sounds like fun.
I mean, if you're on the show, yeah, you get picked on. They really don't like throw shots at the audience. It's one-on-one battle.
Oh, I'd love to go on. I love roasting people.
It's a lot of fun, man.
I would wear the three-piece on purpose just to give them an edge.
Well, of course, that's your thing. You've got to wear that now. Like,
that's true.
I was really disappointed when you showed up to the party and you were in a hoodie last night.
Oh. I had my Hydrox shirt on, and I was hoping someone would ask me about it.
You had your Hydrox shirt.
No, the only thing that happened last night that was remotely, like, I felt integrated was that Al, another friend of the show.
I wouldn't brag about that.
Al threatened me with violence and mm-hmm. then executed said violence. And I was like, that's a first. I love Al.
You just have to tell Al, like, don't hit me and don't wrestle with me.
It was fine until he lifted me up and I thought it was like, this is fun. Like, I can make this a fun thing. Mm. And then he's like, let me show you something. And he starts choking me out.
Oh my God.
Via my shirt. And I was like, Al, you're going to let me just pass out on the ground here? But I was like, Al, you got to let me just pass out on the ground here. He's like, I ain't going to let you pass out. And I'm like, thank you, Al. I appreciate that.
That's a really good Al.
Thank you.
Is he like
I was practicing it
it's
for
a,
my...
Is he a crab apple?
It's a better Al than Al. Because you can actually understand you.
I said it last night. I was like, Al's a little bit of low-hanging fruit, so I roasted him a little bit last night about how he doesn't speak English words. But yeah, Al's great. I still like Al. Thank you. I made Jeremy Shear laugh. Yeah. That was my goal before he leaves. Oh! Do you want to talk about that in your plug section?
Sure. Here's a plug. I'm moving to Denver in August.
Jeremy Shear in Denver. Somewhere you've been before, I think you've said. Or is it just the state of Colorado you've been?
I didn't live in Denver when I lived there before. I lived in Larimer County and Greeley, which I think that's Weld County, but whatever. It smells really bad because there's a slaughterhouse there, and it sucks.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, God.
Yeah, never go there. But, yeah, moving out there, I got family there. And they have open mics every night, which...
nice.
I mean, like, it doesn't seem like a big deal. It's like, well, those don't pay, and I don't care. I just need to do stage time every night.
Of course.
Because I'm crazy. So
well, I appreciate you being here tonight, considering there was a few options I saw.
I did a mic before I came here, so.
Oh, right on.
Wow.
Wait, that's where all the ankle pictures came from.
Yeah, yeah.
For listeners, call in, ask us about the ankle pictures. We'll be feel free to
call in.
That's my last plug. I'm doing a new project. Yes. You can participate out there. If you see a comic on stage wearing shorts, take a picture of it and hashtag it Ankles of Comedy.
That's a great hashtag. Let's get that trending. Ankles of Comedy.
Ankles of Comedy.
I like that a lot.
I'm not shaming people for wearing shorts on stage. I think it's fine.
I think it'll be, yeah.
Be proud of your ankles.
You perform in shorts quite frequently.
All the time.
Quite frequently.
And I crush, so
everyone knows
what
I wear.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
I'm proud of it.
I wear shirts.
Johnny wears shirts, and I love describing them.
Yes, you do.
As upper wear.
Upper wear?
This one is made of cotton.
You're right.
I have. Is that all the plugs you have? Do you want anyone to follow you on the social medias?
Everything is at Dirty Shear. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. If you're a Tumblr person.
I'm not a Tumblr. I don't like to tumble much. I like to make fun of Tumblr a lot. You know what? I probably should be on Tumblr.
Their porn is great. Like, I used to write on it all the time, but basically I just follow a couple cam girls on there. And like,
you know how that makes perfect sense.
I love cam girls. They're like the original GoFundMe, so it's perfect for me.
That's right. They were the ones that pioneered it. You know what? Porn pioneers a lot of things. Mm-hmm, the VHS, true. The DVD, the Blu-ray.
The space program.
The space program. Yeah. The Mexican space program, which is too dirty for air, even for Jeremy Shear. Yeah. My plugs are, I always forget to plug the Unbelievables podcast, but it's at T Unbelievables because some squatter has the Unbelievables and then another squatter has just at Unbelievables. So now Nick decided we should just be called Tunbelievables, and I'm okay with that.
Tunbelievables.
So it's at Tunbelievables. I'm at Mike_Calhoun. Really, if you follow either one of those, it's just me saying the same thing over and over. Yeah. We're a little funny from time to time.
It's rough to have the underscores, man.
It is. I'm okay with it because at first I was like, I can't have them smashed together. That looks unseemly. I'll be Mike_Calhoun. And Johnny, you're not on Twitter.
No. I try to hide in a large log cabin.
Good idea.
Most of the time.
And you just come out whenever I have you get on the sub and we submerge.
That's right.
We go 17,000 feet deep, record, and then we surface.
No, please let me go.
There's an Unbelievables with an underscore after Unbelievables, too.
Dang it. Jesus Christ. Sounds about right.
I bet you they're not, like, on a ship.
Yeah, but they're not, like, stumbling through games that we invented within a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey,
I do want to thank Jeremy Shear for being here. Thank you to my co-host.
Thanks.
This is probably the third round of thank yous. But thank you to the listener. I hope, hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Hopefully we'll tune in next week. Well, I'll have someone else. This has been the
Unbelievables. It'll be crazy.
I should play something. I have something to play us out. Why not? My favorite song. No, it's not my favorite song. My second favorite song.
Is it what I think?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, glorious.